I'm a woman of no distinction, of little importance. I'm a woman of no reputation, save that which is bad.
You whisper as I pass by and cast your judgmental glances, but you don't take the time to look at me or get to know me. For to be known is to be loved, and to be loved is to be known. And otherwise, what is the point of doing either one of them in the first place? I want to be known. I want someone to look me in my face and see more than just two eyes, a nose, a mouth, and two ears. But to see all of me and all that I could be, all of my hopes, loves, fears. But that's too much to hope for, to wish for, to pray for. So I don't. Not anymore. Now I keep it to myself. And by that, I mean the pain. The pain that keeps me in my own private jail. The pain that has brought me here at midday to this well. To ask of a drink is no big deal. But to ask it of me, a woman unclean, ashamed, used and abused. Outcast, a failure, a disappointment, a sinner. No drink passing from these hands to your lips could ever be refreshing, only condemning. And as I'm sure you condemn me now, but you don't. You are a man of no distinction, but of the utmost importance. A man of little reputation, at least so far. You whisper to me, tell me to my face what all those glances have been about. You take the time to look at me, but you don't need to get to know me. To be known is to be loved, and to be loved is to be known. And you know me. You actually know me. All of me, everything about all this, every thought inside, every hair on the top of my head. Every hurt stored up, every hope, every dread, all of my past and future. You know all that I am and could be. You tell me everything. You tell me about me. That which is spoken from another would certainly bring hate and condemnation. Coming from you, it brings love, mercy, grace, hope, salvation. I have heard of one who was to come to save a wretch like me. And now here in my presence, you say, I am he. To be known is to be loved, and to be loved is to be known. But I love you. I don't know you, but I want to give to you. I must run back to town. This is way too much just for me. There are others, brothers, sisters, lovers, haters, the good and the bad, the sinners and the saints, who need to see what you've shown me, to hear what you've told me, who needs to taste what you gave me, to feel how you forgave me. To be known is to be loved, and to be loved is to be known. They all need it. We all do. We need it for our own.
Jesus came to a town in Samaria, Sychar. He was tired from his journey, and he sat down at a well. His disciples went into town to buy some food, and a Samaritan woman came to draw water from the well. He had the nerve to ask her for a drink. Her first reaction was probably one of disbelief. Why would this Jew be associating with her? And then worry. Did he have suspicions about her reputation? Did he wonder why she'd rather bear the scorching midday sun than to deal with the whispers and stares of women who came to the well when it was cooler? But in this encounter, it becomes evident pretty quickly that Jesus sees her, really sees her, through her outward appearance, through her aching heart, and he peers into her past with tenderness. He makes no reference to her sin. He gives no call to repent, and he offers no prayer. He sits with her at the quiet well and shows her a reflection of herself and offers a gift, himself. She runs back to the city from that encounter, enlivened and excited to take that gift to others. Jesus was with people, allowing them to be real with themselves and with God. The way he was able to see people allowed for incredible transformation. Over and over in the Bible, we encounter this Jesus who sees deep into the souls of the people he encounters, being with them and inviting them to something more, a space where they're truly known and loved, and in turn want to share this joy with others. Jesus truly encountered the woman at the well, but he encountered so many more. He looked past the inappropriate etiquette of the woman who comes to anoint his feet with perfume and instead shows his gratitude for her expensive offering, which prepares him for burial by noting to the others how they haven't seen what she has. Jesus sees deep into the soul of the woman who was caught in adultery and stands up for her when others are ready to stone her. He probes deeper into the questions of the rich young ruler who asks what he needs to do to follow Jesus. He accepts Peter despite his denial and gives him another chance. He recognizes the doubting of Thomas and how hard it is to really believe. Jesus focuses on the person in deep and meaningful and real ways, meeting them where they are and inviting them to walk with him. This is the kind of ministry that I want to be about. I'm deeply moved by Jesus' example, and I'm deeply moved by a Jesus who has known me and loved me, even when I don't reciprocate it. In my 5 years here at EMU, I've tried to really see people and provide spaces where people can feel known and experience the love of God. I told myself I wouldn't cry, so I'll keep away the tears here. I've tried to encourage this kind of ministry with my pastoral and ministry assistants as they engage in a vulnerable kind of ministry with their peers. Following Jesus in this way is something I think that we're all invited to. And as I've engaged in ministry in this kind of vulnerable way, I've learned a lot and I've been changed. In my first year, I chaired the undergraduate task force for the listening process. I was offered this assignment after I raised some concern about how students would be invited to engage in this process. I was concerned that not all student voices and perspectives would be heard. This experience demonstrated for me how much we need each other, despite our differences. Our human tendencies tend to orient us toward those who think, act, and speak like us. Comfortable. So much so that we tend to avoid those who are different. And in our ability to deal with those differences, we often dehumanize those who we think look or act differently, even calling one another names and further creating divisions. The opportunity to chair this task force allowed me space to see how much we truly need to be with others who are different from us, to learn and to grow and to understand more of what God is inviting us to. I learned how important it is to enter into relationships with humbleness, seeking more to understand than to be understood. This year, the theme of student life has been one body, many parts. When it comes to race, gender, sexuality, culture, religion, and other biases, we carry all the parts. We don't yet know how to handle all of those differences very well. But I think we have to learn how to follow Jesus' model and start to rely on really engaging others who are different from us, seeing them and finding what we can and how we can learn from them. Related to this, I've been challenged even more while I've been at EMU to understand my whiteness, the powers and the privileges that I carry, not being ashamed of who I am, but becoming more and more aware of how I value or don't show value to the black and brown lives that I care so deeply about. As a follower of Jesus, I'm compelled to continue to understand and learn about racism and the way it continues to dehumanize still today. Each of my 5 years here I have engaged with women who have experienced sexual violence and abuse. I have been changed by these encounters. My heart hurts and has cried out to God on many occasions. The awareness and education of sexual assault and violence continues to grow, not just on this campus, but as we know, across the country and around the world. For those of us who claim to follow Jesus, we have to join together to put an end to sexual violence, indeed, all violence, which we perpetrate against one another in so many ways, often, because we're trying to satisfy our own needs and vulnerabilities. Again, dehumanizing one another rather than showing one another genuine love. Each of us longs to be known and to be loved. We use a lot of different modes and mechanisms to meet this need. And at times we substitute our need for intimacy to be known with the physical act of sex. We seek to avoid the pain of loneliness and abandonment through various mechanisms and substances. But the truth is, we're all on a journey to be known and loved. But being known doesn't just come from what someone else can give us. Being known is what we find as we encounter ourselves, our whole selves. Insecurities and all, and invite God into that sacred space. Just like the woman at the well, I know that Jesus sees me. Jesus sees each of us and knows that we need to be known and loved. Jesus is inviting each of us to be part of this kind of real engagement, doing the hard work of being vulnerable and available to both ourselves and others, because this is the work that can change the world. Almost 5 years ago, I stood on this very stage as part of my interview to be campus pastor, and I started chapel with a quote from Mother Teresa, someone I've looked up to probably since I was at least 13. And I think that I've looked up to her because I so appreciate the way she followed Jesus in her life and work, and I think I felt a bit intimidated that I could never reach her abilities. But I want to strive for it. And I want to end with just a few words from her. Here are some quotes. If we have no peace, it's because we've forgotten that we belong to each other. If you judge people, you have no time to love them. The greatest disease in the West today is not TB or leprosy. It's being unwanted, unloved, and uncared for. We can cure physical diseases with medicine, but the only cure for loneliness, despair, and hopelessness is love. There are many in the world who are dying for a piece of bread, but there are many more dying for a little love. The poverty in the West is a different kind of poverty. It's not a poverty of, it's not only a poverty of loneliness, but also spirituality. There's a hunger for love, a hunger for God. And I like this one a lot. People are unrealistic, illogical, and self-centered. Love them anyway. In my work here, I've tried to embody a ministry of vulnerability, of being real, offering myself in an unfinished and unrefined state to others, acknowledging that I don't have it all together, even at times when I pretend I do, and I've attempted to allow others to offer themselves to me. I've tried to be a witness of Jesus' love and compassion, which accepts us as we are, knowing us and loving us. But like the woman at the well, doesn't let us stay the same. This love changes us. I have indeed been changed by my ministry with you. And again, in the words of Mother Teresa, I've received much more than I have given, and I can never be the same person again, because I have touched Christ. I have understood what love is, what it is to love, and to be loved. And in my own words, my blessing for you, may each of you continue to be challenged by the life of Jesus, and to live in ways that seek to fully love God with your entire being, and to love one another so that God's vision for this world might be more fully realized.
Let us respond with this, the song, We Will Walk With God, and the words will be on the screen. We changed one line instead of we will go rejoicing to better represent or connect and embody the message, we will love each other. Let's stand for this song. And Perry is going to start us off.
Brothers, we will walk with God. We will walk with God. My sisters, we will walk with God. We will love each other till the kingdom has come. We will love each other till the kingdom has come. We will walk with God, my brothers. We will walk with God, my sisters. We will walk with God. We
to respond with PAs coming forward, if you would. And while the PAs are coming forward to be ready for their response, I want to invite as many of you as possible to remain after the chapel and respond by being part of a video that we're creating. Liz, go ahead and gather things. Come on up, PAs, right behind me. We are gathering on the stoop and right outside, undergraduate students and graduate students, to respond to a couple questions by writing a few words on a whiteboard like this, and then holding it, and then reading those words for a short video take. The prompts are, my faith has been nurtured at EMU through blank, and that's what you write here, or I wish my faith had been further nurtured at EMU through blank. And this video is in preparation for the faculty-staff conference on May 10, when we're focusing on faith mentoring and vocational coaching or coaching nurturing a sense of call for students. PAs, you have a response as well.
The first time I met Lana was at a sunrise prayer session on Thomas Plaza. It was my freshman year, and I went because I was trying to root myself spiritually and find some guidance because college was crazy. But little did I know that that day I walked away meeting a spiritual mentor, someone to listen to me, and a friend. Lana, not to quote you, but you literally have done the hard work of being vulnerable and available and have changed my world. And I know that I'm not the only one here who has had similar experience with you. In fact, many students, faculty, and staff at EMU have come to rely on you, the love that you share, and the many ways that you change our lives. So it is with great joy that I have the opportunity to present with Lana a gift to remember her many experiences, her spiritual journeys, and her friends. This painting behind me was created during Spiritual Renewal Week and has served as a reminder of faith and relationship to Lana, hanging on the wall of her office ever since. We as a group of PAs and the whole group of people at chapel today, we want to present this to you with the hopes that it will continue to remind you of these things throughout the rest of your time on this earth. Thank you, and we love you, Lana.
There is also a reception for Lana on Wednesday, April 25, isn't that right? Next week, from 4 to 5 p.m., and it's open to students, faculty, and staff, and watch for email about that, but a week from today, 4 to 5 p.m. In addition to responding after the chapel with the short video prompts and writing on this, and these are in the foyer, also should say you need to sign quickly a waiver that it's okay to be in the video, although I think standing in front of the camera is a pretty good indication that you're okay with it, but somehow it's come to this. I'm not sure if we're afraid you'll sue us or what. There is a coffee time in North Lawn today from 10:30 to noon, hosted by the library and the undergraduate dean's office, so please stop by there as well. Lana, we do love you, and thank you for 5 years of nurturing faith and spiritual formation, hope and healing on this campus. I can't believe that our time of partnering in ministry is coming to a close, and I deeply grieve that. I deeply grieve that campus ministries will be reduced in staffing next year, as an effort to meet budget. I understand it, but I lament it. And we're in pain, along with many across campus, so know that as well. We offer our vulnerability along with you, but I also know that ministry comes in many forms and packages and teaming and partnering. And so I also look to the future with hope, knowing that things will be different, but I trust effective and perhaps will grow in new and amazing ways in ministry and faith and spiritual formation in the future. So I welcome you to walk with me in leading in campus ministry next year. Go in peace and love and grace. Amen.